highway, on the lone highway. Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on a lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the lone highway. On the lone highway. On the lone highway. On the lone highway, strange drifters hitchhike on the lone highway.
Okay, we are back.
Cheap motels and beer.
We are back here on the Republican Broadcasting Network. This is the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC, and I am your host, Dave Scorpio, and in this hour, we do have a special guest, but before I introduce my guest, I just want to remind everyone listening to please take the time and money to send in some kind of a donation to keep the station going. You know, it does take money to run the servers and keep the operation going, and this really is a bastion of free speech. No one tells anyone what to say or not, what not to say on this station. It's a free flow of ideas, an open forum, so to speak. And that's becoming more and more rare, which makes RBN more and more valuable. So please show that your support by going on the site and doing what you can. A monthly donation is best if you can swing that. That way they have a budget to work with. And that said, I would like to bring on my guest, Breiser from Ireland, a guy I've known actually for... gosh, it's hard to believe, almost 15 years we've known each other, Breiser, back when we used to talk on Skype with Sapober and Foon and Dell, a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Breiser, are you there, sir?
Well, I'm here, Dave, yes. Thanks for inviting me on. And yeah, long time no speak. It's been a little while. But yeah, I can't believe it. It's been 15 odd years.
It's hard to believe. It doesn't seem like that long ago.
It doesn't, no. But
no.
I think it's because of all the craziness going on, you know, time just kind of flies by, doesn't it? I mean,
it does.
It was like a family today, and there was a lot of kids around, and they're not kids anymore, but it wasn't too long ago when they were kids. Now they're nearly grown adults, and I think I blinked and I missed it or something, you know?
Yeah, you have to wonder if time isn't being manipulated somehow. It does seem like time is speeding up.
It
has been, almost 15 years that we've known each other. And, I enjoy your talks with Steve in the UK and Augner from time to time. And, I guess my first question for you, Breiser, is... are you now, or have you ever been, a member of the Communist Party?
I better think about that one. Did I?
No,
I don't think I was. No.
Okay, we got that out of the way. Good.
Yeah, we never. No. Okay.
What
would be the ramifications if I was? I'd be kicked off, I'd say.
Yes, you'd be excommunicated for being a communist.
Commies.
Yeah. It's funny how those words, the meanings of those words have changed over time. And I think we're getting to a point where all the isms are kind of becoming synthesized into one grand form of status control. You've got this communitarianism, communism, fascism, basically all being put into one, synthesized into one kind of new type of government. And I believe too that there's other elements involved too, like the idea of having experts create the economy, and a grand council of experts are going to decide everything on a scientific level. I think there's an element to that too. We saw that introduced during COVID. So what are your thoughts on the grand agenda and where it is right now?
Yeah. I mean, when I was doing radio shows, I did quite a few shows on the topic of communitarianism. It's a difficult concept for people to get their heads around because it's multi-layered, you know. But to define it really, it's kind of, as you say, as a political ideology, it is a merger of extreme communism and extreme corporatocracy or crony capitalism, if you want to call it that, and merging the two together. And then as a kind of a philosophical thing or societal thing would be that everything is for the common good, and they give us this illusion that we have a say in things when we actually don't. Let's see.
Well, that's true. And I think that was sort of introduced a little bit during COVID, where, you know, I wear my mask for you, you wear your mask for me, I get vaccinated for your safety, you know, and you get vaccinated for my safety. You know, this sort of idea that we're responsible for each other's safety through our behavior, and that we're all in this together, where we all have to work together, whether you want to or not, I think is a key part of that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that term we heard it so often, for the common good, you know. So anytime I hear that term, it's been hijacked. I mean, the common good for most people means, like, if you do something that benefits everyone around you, it's for the common good, right? But that's been hijacked, and the common good is whatever they mean it to be, and it can be anything, you know. And even the word community, which is a kind of a nice word that people like to, that's been hijacked because what we think of a community is your neighbors and your people in your town or village or wherever you live. You know, we all know each other, and that's a kind of community. But that's been hijacked. Community is whatever they decide it to be. And when it comes to law as well, there's communitarian law, and it's not really law per se. It's community guidelines, community standards, this type of thing.
Yeah, those are sort of amorphous and undefined, and they can be whatever they say. Just like you said,
exactly.
The community standards can change depending on the circumstances, and it's really just that's a method of censorship and trying to get people to self-censor as well. And, you know, since we're here together, I want to ask you about any new events going on in Ireland, you know, the massive protests that were going on there a few months back as a reaction to the unlimited replacement level immigration going on there, which of course has been happening in the United States here over this last few years as well. But has that protest sort of died down, or what's the state of that? Because people, it seemed like there was a movement really starting to grow. What's the latest on that, Briser?
Yeah. There's at long last, there's a pushback, you know. People are not happy with what's going on, particularly with the immigration. That's a major one. People here put up with it for quite a long time. And, you know, we were talking about this on shows. I was warning people about this, that they're, you know, they're trying to replace us. That's what this is. And they're saying, oh, no, we just need to bring in extra workers. And, you know, people, as I said, they put up with it. And they said, oh, they're just poor refugees from war-torn countries. And, that, you know, it turned out that that's not the case at all, that these are young, unvetted males coming in, just basically living in hotels or guest houses or whatever. And, and living for free. And if then they qualify to stay here, get citizenship here, they'll probably get on the housing ladder and get a free house or something like that, while Irish people are being thrown out onto the street. Okay, so it's all for the common good, Dave, you see, back to this communitarian thing. We have to have all these migrants in, it's for the common good, these poor wretched people, we have to help them out. So,
And it's funny how, NATO and other organizations cause these conflicts that create the refugees. And then, we're going to have to send them to your country. We didn't think of that. Gosh, who would have thought? So it's all this circular loop of problem, reaction, solution. It truly is. And what I find interesting is, the refugees started coming in from Syria and other places. Now, I guess Ukraine is, of course, an area where a lot of people are coming in from. And of course, Africa. That seems to be the favorite for Ireland, is just to fill Ireland full of black Africans. Like somehow that is going to help your civilization. And the biggest thing to me about all this immigration is that it destroys the value of labor. That's not really talked about very often. When you flood the market with more labor, obviously it takes labor down to a much more lower level than it would be. And the value of labor is a very important thing for anybody that actually works and produces things. And that's a direct assault upon the middle class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a race to the bottom, isn't it? And
yes.
It's just, it's all service industry stuff now, like working in coffee shops or restaurants or hotels. I mean, seemingly, a lot of Americans come to Ireland because a lot of Americans have Irish roots and everything. So they come over here for their vacation and they want to get the Irish experience, so to speak. But they go into a hotel, right? And the receptionist is from Nigeria and the waiter is from Poland. And the cleaning staff are from who knows where, right? And it's like, where are we? Is this Ireland? What's going on, And it really is. It's we opened the floodgates here. The immigration really didn't really kick off here till about 2011, I'd say, when the Justice Minister at the time, who's in charge of immigration, his name is Alan Shatter, of Jewish origin.
That's shocking.
Shocking, isn't it? Yes, and he literally opened the floodgates, because this is when all this really started kicking off across Europe, right? The whole migration thing. But it's kind of like ready, steady, go, and gates opened for everywhere, but particularly Ireland. Like they just said, come on in. And it's just been progressively getting worse. And it's got to a situation now where they've no place to live, and they're trying to now to bring in things into the, bring referendums in to like in our constitution, like the home, like the dwelling, they call it the dwelling, the family home is inviolable, and you have private property rights and all that. It's a pretty good constitution we have here, actually, and a lot of it's based on the US one. So not that I buy into constitutions and all that, but it's there, so it can be used. But they're trying to water it all down now, that you don't really have private property rights, which means then that the state can say, well, you've got to open your door and let a Somalian family into your house, So they're trying to push this stuff, and we actually had another referendum just this weekend, just Friday gone, where they wanted to change the meaning of the word marriage, and they wanted to take the word woman out of the constitution. So, and instead of calling it marriage, they want to call it durable relationships.
Call it what?
Durable relationships.
Wow. That sounds strange. What is that supposed to mean?
Well, it can be anything you want. You can have a relationship with your dog. It's a durable relationship. I mean, durable relationship is like a lasting relationship. You could have a lasting relationship with anything.
Yes, your car, a house plant.
A car, anything, yeah. I mean, it was just, you could see that this came from a George Soros place or something. You know, I the fact that the government pushed this out there to the people is a joke. And that's, I refused to engage with this. I've actually deregistered myself too, because I don't want to engage anymore with clown world. I really don't. I've had enough. But anyway, this constitution was a massive no vote. People went voted against this in their hordes. So it was a massive kick in the ass for the government here. But it just shows you that they don't know what they're doing, really. They're being told what to do from somewhere else. More than likely, European Union or all these different NGOs and foundations and whatever, pumping money into this Yes campaign. And on the No side, there was no, like, there's no media coverage really on the No side or telling people what that was all about. They were pushing, but it backfired spectacularly. So that's a good thing. So that's what I'm saying. The sands are shifting here. And I'm beginning to see it. And also, now people are waking up to the COVID scam as well. People I know who did get the jab thought it was, you know, it was going to keep them safe, realized that it didn't. And I know of about five people now, myself, who I knew personally, some quite well and others not so well, but I knew them, who are no longer here because of this, you know?
Yeah, me too. I know at least that many people who, took the shot and within literally a few months or a year were dead, including a family member. So it's a ongoing tragedy. And I think you're right. I think the people are, it'd be very difficult to pull this off again anytime soon, because so many people's lives have been touched by this, where someone they knew died. And I've just had so many stories from people about this too. The people that I don't know personally, but they've told me, hey, my brother did this, you know, my cousin died, all these weird health problems people are having now. Mm-hmm. So I think we're at a point where it's a strange time in history, because I think the power and control has never been as complete as it is now. But at the same time, more and more people are seeing what's going on and don't want to be part of it. So mm-hmm. there's a real disconnect between the governments and the people now. And that's one thing that's frustrating about what's happening in America, is there's so many people that think Trump's going to get in there. He's going to change everything. It's going to be different this time. It's been 10 years, but this will be different. And it keeps people believing in that if we vote, we get the right guy and they're going to fix things. That's mm-hmm. not how this is going to go down.
You got to vote harder, Dave.
Yeah, I got to vote harder and more often.
Yeah. You really got to put your mind to it, you know. We'll get there. That's why, you know, I used to do that. My rights in this, as a citizen of this country. And then I realized that all our countries are corporations anyway, and we're just corporate employees in this corporation. And it's just... I just don't want to be a part of that anymore, you know. So I decided to deregister. Not that I voted at all, actually, in any of the elections we've had here, but in the referendums that we have, and we have quite a few of them. But the last few referendums have been pushed by the government, and it's all about attacking the family unit. And this particular one, as you can see, that I was telling you about, is certainly on that. It's, you know, it's attacking the institution of marriage and now calling it durable relationships. And it's also attacking the role of the woman within the home. See, the crazy feminists were saying, oh, that's, the women are attached to the kitchen sink, you know, and we need to get, that's outdated and we have to change it. And it doesn't even say that in the Constitution. It just says that the women have the right to be staying in the home to bring up a family and all that. You know what I mean? It's a safe place. They have that right to stay in the home to bring up a family, and it protects them, as gives them actually protection. Why would you want to change that? And that's what they're trying to do. And we had the abortion referendum there about back in 2018, I think it was. Same thing, you know. Unfortunately, that one passed. And now I believe, I mean, I don't know the actual figures, but I'm told it's 1,000 unborn babies are being pulled out of women's wombs these, you know, every week. Which is, you know, that's a silent genocide going on right there. And then before that, we had a gay marriage referendum, and that's been all pushed through now. So that it's a, you can see it's a real attack on the family unit. And once the family unit is destroyed, you know, we don't really have a proper country or society anymore, you know. And the family unit was always strong here. I suppose it's down to the Catholic influence, I suppose, like big families and whatever. And, you know, you look out for each other. It's a strong kind of thing, you know. And they needed to attack that because they want people atomized and isolated and whatever. And of course, if you look what happened again during the scamdemic, families bickering and arguing with each other whether to get the jab or not, and all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of that went on. I know people who split up over it, you know. People who've been together for years split up because of whether they wanted to take the job or not. I mean, crazy stuff. Crazy world.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's true. I've heard stories of that myself. It's a big deal. And I actually know somebody that his wife took the jab, and he literally cannot be around her because the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the shedding or the effects of being around vaccinated people. I've felt this myself. It is difficult, and it does affect your health. So these people are like walking biological experimental labs, you know, in a way. They don't even know it. And there is a smell, an off-gassing smell of some kind that comes off of these people that are, especially ones that have taken the booster and taken multiple shots. There's a smell that I can smell on their breath. I can tell right away it's a strange smell. It's kind of like this metallic smell combined with meat that's gone bad. That's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that, but I heard also other people saying similar things. They've been around people who couldn't wait to get as many jabs into their arm as possible, you know, that they suddenly, there's a strange odor coming from them, and it's not a very pleasant one.
You know? No, it's hard to describe because it's not a natural smell. Mm.
It's not sweat. It's just something, as I said, metallic and...
Yeah, it's like some kind of off-gassing that happens. Yeah. That's very strange. Let me get your take. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let me get your take on what's happening in Gaza right now. Like, people in Ireland, I mean, of course, Israel isn't your greatest ally. They're our greatest ally. That's our honor, not yours. What are the, you know, as you talk to people, what's the general feeling about what's happening in Gaza for the people in Ireland? But hopefully they're not as on board with it as Americans are.
No, there is there's a lot of protests about it. It's mainly controlled by the left, though. And I think you see this in most countries that...
Oh, yeah. Were,
and but at least they're speaking out, you know, but they need to understand what Israel is and what the whole Jewish question. They don't get that. You know, they'll stand up for Palestinian rights, but then don't you dare mention the Holocaust, though. Oh gosh, you know, see, they don't get that side of it. But I think they're waking up to that now as well, because again, we've been talking about Jews and the Jewish question for a long time, and you know, where we getting anywhere? I don't know. I think we made an impact. People were beginning to wake up slowly but surely to the whole thing. But in the last, since this thing kicked off, when it was back in October, Israel has been digging its own grave, from what I can see. Because just going on, you know, I on Twitter there, and I'm just looking at the people's reactions, right? And Twitter is infested with Tel Aviv trolls. It's absolutely infested with them, right? But you can go into the comments and look at all the replies and all the rest of it. And people are calling them out. I mean, they're calling them out straight away. You're genocidal maniacs, right? And they see through the lies, because it's all lies after lie after lie. And then they're obviously thinking, well, that event that happened in World War II Is that a big lie as well? So the beginning, you know, this is, I think we're seeing a major shift in consciousness, if you will, if you want to call it that. And it's a positive thing, but where it'll lead, I'm not so sure. I think, unfortunately, I think the damage has been done, Dave, you know, with immigration, with the whole jab thing and all the other stuff, right? And I'm not sure if we can turn this one around. I think this is all going to naturally implode at some point. And I think we need to get ready for that. Because when it does, it ain't going to be pretty. But it's required, I think, because I think we're at the end of this kind of a cycle, which happens, I think, throughout history, you know, resets and stuff like that. I've been looking at this whole idea that there's been resets in the past, okay? And we're coming up. That's why, you know, we're talking about the Great Reset, you know? I think these guys are trying to get in before an actual one does happen, like out of nature, so to speak.
You know, I think that's a very good point. Certainly, there are these grand cycles that are beyond the hand of man that we go through. And when you reach a point where everything is fake, everything is controlled, everything is built upon a foundation of lies, there reaches a point where you just can't hold it together anymore. And I think you're right. That's why they want to create this artificial reset so they can all stay in power as they change the Ponzi scheme just enough to yeah. keep it going, because we're getting to the point where the Ponzi scheme is falling apart financially, socially it's falling apart, and then now you've got the added factor of more and more people are saying, I don't want anything to do with this government. This government does not represent me or my family or my interests. I don't care who the president is. It's not really going to matter that much, because the president really is just a salesman and a punching bag. You know, there's much greater powers at work here than what is publicly displayed. And I think more and more people are starting to get that. But I agree with you. I don't think this can be fixed.
No. We're not going back to where it was maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, or back to the 70s or the 80s. Forget about that. That's not happening, you know. But there is, as I said, people are waking up, and you know, it is kind of like an apocalypse, really. If you look at it, like we're moving into that, and the apocalypse is all about like the great revealing. So people are waking up naturally, because they can see the criminality going on around them, you know. But at the end of it, though, you know, there comes a great purge, and it's who's standing at the end of that, where we go from there, like whose phoenix is going to rise from the ashes here, you know. But I think it will be us. I think these scoundrels won't get away with this, because more as this continues on, more and more people are waking up, and I think they're losing control here. I can kind of see it, and I could be wrong, but I sense this. And as I said, going back to Jews in Israel, like I said, they're digging their own grave here. The longer this genocide goes on there, the more people can see through them.
Absolutely. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour break, Breiser. Let's just hold there, because I think this is a deep point in the conversation. I want to expound upon what you're saying and get your reaction. So everyone, okay. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Back here on the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC, and I am Dave Scorpio, and we're continuing our conversation with Breiser from Ireland. And Breiser, you know, I think you brought up something pretty heavy right before the break here about, you know, this is not going to be fixed politically. It's gone too far. Huh. That ship sailed a long time ago. So the question is, you know, how does this unfold, this unraveling of the system? Because when you have a system that's built completely on lies and fabrication and gambling and pornography and degeneracy, it's not going to end well. The only question is, how does it end and when does it end? And one question I've kind of had is, what play are they going to make? I believe after the election is over, a major move is going to happen. That could come in the form of a war, a real war, not one of these little skirmishes that we're experiencing now, but a real war. But I always kind of have the doubt that I don't know that they could pull off a real war because of everything is so interconnected economically. A war, say, with China and Russia, that would be the obvious world war scenario. But how do you have a war when the Walmart shelves would go empty in a week? How do you manage that? Do you have a war and keep trading on the side? Or do you, I guess my question for you, Breiser, is, do you think like an actual world war or a major war is a possible scenario, or what other scenarios do you see as a possibility for this?
No, I don't see a major like World War III scenario happen. I think we're kind of already in it. We're in a psychological war as it is, right?
Yes.
It's been waged upon us since World War II. I mean, it hasn't really ended. So I can see kind of regional conflicts, though, and you can see it all kicking off now in the Middle East. You know, Iran could get involved there, and Lebanon, and all, you know, all that whole area there is could erupt at any time now. The Russia-Ukraine stuff is still going on, too, though. I think that that's fizzling out a bit, but that I think they're cleared out Ukraine so they can make it the new Israel. I think that's what I think could be going on there. And then you got China, Taiwan. That's another major issue. So there'll always be some kind of a war going on somewhere. You know, it's like reminds me of like 1984, like Oceania's at war with Eurasia one week, and then into our war with East Asia the next week, and then they're all fighting each other. But there's always a constant war, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because, you know, wars are, I believe, are the greatest tool for reorganization and the reconstruction of societies in the aftermath. But I agree. I'm skeptical that they can actually pull off a world war. If they do, it's going to be the most scripted war that's ever happened. I believe World War I and World War II were scripted to some degree, but things weren't so interconnected as they are now. And, you know, the idea that we're going to get into some kind of conflict with China over Taiwan is really laughable. It's like they're looking for something to cause a conflict with anything. You know, we got to have a conflict. We got this big military. We got to use it. We got to have our power on display. So, but I do think it's going to be hard to pull off. Yeah,
well, as I just said, if there is a war, it'll be like what you've seen the movie Wag the Dog, right? You know, they'll just create one in a Hollywood movie studio, you know?
Yeah, it would be something like that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And they could do it. They can do it. Easy, you know? That movie's great. I urge people to watch that one because that shows you how easy it can be done. That was made back in 1997, right? So you can imagine.
Yeah, somewhere in the 90s. Yeah,
yeah. But it's not type of thing where they could just create a completely fake war where nothing's happening. But who's to know? Unless you're there, you can't say whether it's real or not. You know.
Well, what do you see as a more likely play?
I just think I've been following this guy. He's in Texas. His name is Jason Brashears, and he's got a website called Archaix, ARCHAIX.com, and he's got a YouTube channel. He's got a huge number of followers now. He started off very small, but he's got very big, and he's a very intelligent guy. He spent a lot of years in prison, and he worked in the library, and he found a lot of these old books that talked about these resets and stuff like that, you know, and how things change. And he reckons we're going through the seven seals of the apocalypse right now. And the first seal was broken with the COVID scam, right? And the second one, they happen every 4 years. So there's going to be another seal broken, according to him anyway, this year. And what he reckons that will be the migrants kicking off wherever they are, okay? And that could happen. That's very likely to happen, actually. And it's going to go every 4 years. It's going to be something like that. But it could be dangerous times. It's also going to be a major waking up process. But it's all leading up to the apocalypse, which or the reset that he calls it, which is in 2040. That's where he thinks it's going to be, not 2030. And he reckons in politics anyway that. Particularly starting in America first, but then moving into Europe, politics is going to go from that lefty kind of cultural Marxist type of thinking to extreme right, kind of Christian Zionist right, Noahide law type stuff. I don't think I particularly want that one, Dave, do you?
Well, no, but see, I think that would be difficult because the younger generation isn't going to be on board with that. They're not particularly religious, and the younger generation, for the most part, really sees the Zionist scam much more so than the older generations do as a group. You know, at least, you know, they've filled the young people's minds with a lot of bad thinking. But one of the things that sort of, you know, come through just through natural osmosis is that I don't think people want to kill each other as much as they used to, or be willing to go, you know, take a gun and, you know, join the army and start fighting. I think that's just not in the zeitgeist as much as it used to be. And young people really are seeing this thing in Gaza as the disgusting display that it is. And because I don't want to see anybody's children bombed. I don't care where they're from. I mean, this is a horrific thing. And you see some of the footage coming out of Gaza right now. It's truly a wasteland. And the idea that this is somehow okay, or this is the legitimate war against Hamas. I mean, Hamas doesn't have, there is no army. It's just, you know, the abject slaughter of civilians. And I think the younger generations are seeing that more than, you know, the older people have, at least.
Yeah, but I think you were saying is if Trump or Republicans get back in again, he will pander towards that hard right Christian faction, right? And they, you know, that'll be kind of burning you at the stake if you don't agree with what happens. I don't know. Like this, I'm only going by what he says, and he could be right, because I'm seeing it certainly like in Europe now, which always was traditionally kind of very leftish. I mean, I think I heard you saying you were in Norway there, and which has always been a kind of a socialist country, a kind of social democrat, as well. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's not definitely not communist, but it's very socialist, very kind of cradle to grave, the government looking after you, and a very high tax and all that. But it's the quality of life is good for people, but they're slaves, you know, that's the way it is. And I think people are beginning to see through that, because that hasn't worked out well. It worked well for 30, 40 years, but that's come to kind of an end, and people are beginning to realize that that's just as corrupt as any other system, and they're kind of leaning more towards right-wing ideas, you know. And that would be kind of, you know, obviously they'd be anti-immigration, anti-abortion, all that kind of stuff. So I think we got to be careful, like, because if Trump starts doing all it, it'd be kind of like he'd be seen, would he be like a kind of an antichrist, where the antichrist is supposed to make things really good for a while and then it really gets bad again. You know, if he comes in and he makes all these sweeping changes, we'll all say, yes, see, we won. The white hats came in. Saved the day. You know? And so we've got to be careful with that one. But I'm seeing a shift, like, again, in Germany and France and everything. The right is definitely making a comeback. But they're controlled, too. I think it's just, this guy Jason calls it just a changing of the guard, you know? They're still going to be in control. It's just that the cultural Marxist leftist stuff has kind of run its course, and the pendulum is going to swing back the other way. And it's going to be crazy times. It's just going to be more chaos and confusion, I think, for up to 2040, I think. And yes, there's going to be wars going on here and there. And there's going to be all sorts of issues happening and crazy stuff. And I think that's why it's important for us to disengage from this as much as we possibly can, and just concentrate on ourselves, you know, because, and our families and whatever, and people that we know, and not get too emotionally caught up in all of this, because it is kind of depressing, really. And I see a lot of people who are spend a lot of time on social media trying to wake people up and everything, and I can sense from them that they're depressed and they're pissed off. I can understand why they're angry, but it's all emotion, and once emotion takes control, you don't think rationally, you know. And I think people need to stop and think about what's going on here, and just slowly disengage from it. And that's what I've been doing. I've been thinking about this for quite a while now, and I've been just getting away from it and just concentrating on me. Like, I see my life as my own movie show, where I'm the producer, director, and the main actor, and that's it. You know, and I'm not letting anybody else into it. And that's just... that's my life, and that's, you know, that's your movie show over there. And And, you know, when you look at these governments and all these NGOs and all the rest, I don't want anything to do with these people. I just do not want anything to do with these people at all. And I find when you kind of let all that go, right, like we all made the mistake, we all bought into this, and you kind of just let it go, you feel an awful lot better within yourself, you know. Everything becomes clearer, and you can actually have a reasonably good life despite all the craziness around you, you know.
Well, that's true. That's a very good point. It's easy to get blackpilled in all of this, and that's a big mistake, because ultimately, you know, we don't need the government to have good lives. We don't need the government to survive. And I think as things start to unravel, it's really going to come down to your community, the people near you in your lives, and finding new ways to exist. Because I'll tell you this, as this unravels, we are not going to have the same standard of living that we're used to now. That's not possible. And in a way, that's a good thing, because our reliance upon the system, we need to break that and start creating new patterns of behavior, because we've all been so inundated and brainwashed to be within the system that we have to find real ways of being together and interacting together that are different than what we've been taught our entire lives. And that's quite a process. And you're right. You've got to focus on your own life, make your life better, and the lives of people around you through your interaction with them. Try to always be a positive influence on things. And the people that are negative and disruptive or that cause intentional problems, you got to cut them out of your life.
Got to cut them out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they'll drag you down. It's like, you know, you can't help everybody. I mean, you know, we can't, our job is not here to wake people up, you know, or to make the world better. You can make your own world better because you're in charge of it. But other people, people have to take responsibility for their own actions and how they live their lives. And if they do wake up and they ask questions, and if someone meets me and asks me, hey, you was talking about this, that, I'll talk to them, no problem. But I'm done with kind of telling them, have you looked at the latest conspiracy or whatever, you know. I used to do that, and it was just pointless, because, you know, it's like talking to a brick wall. So we're at that point now where people are beginning to wake up, and I think they just have to find their own path naturally. And I think they will. And I've noticed a couple of people that 4 years ago, before the whole scandemic thing, hadn't a clue what was going on in the world. And now they're wide awake to the big pharma stuff. They don't know everything, right? But they're wide awake to that, to the World Economic Forum, the Bilderbergers, all of this stuff, right? Stuff that we were talking about years ago. They're only getting on that train now. But that's a good thing. And you have to kind of let them on, and don't kind of jump in and tell them that they're wrong. You know, we don't know if we're right or wrong either, but I think we just got to just let them on and figure stuff out for themselves. And if they have any questions, well, you know, we're here to help. I think that's where we have to go from now. And hopefully more people will do it. Like, lead by example. You know, we don't need leaders per se. You know, be your own leader. Lead by example. And people will kind of connect with you then, you know. And I knew some people as well who thought I was crazy on a lot of this stuff that I was talking about years ago, and they come back to me now and says, you know something, you were right, you know. But I didn't want a pat on the back or anything like that, but I said, right now, okay, if you think I'm right, well, off you go. And I keep digging, you know, keep looking around you, look what's going on, start questioning everything, don't accept everything at face value. You know?
Yeah, you know, I've had similar experiences with people I've known a long time that really thought I was eccentric and crazy, and now those same people will call me and go, "Hey, Dave, what do you think about this? What do you think's going on?" You know, and these are the people that used to kind of just dismiss me. Oh, Dave's a little crazy. He's an artist. He's a little crazy. He's a little out there. But those same people now are going, "Gee, Dave, how'd you know all this stuff?" You know, so I think that's...
Reiser, you got too much time in your hands, man. You know, you need to out there and I'm saying, well, I'm glad I did, you know, at the time, because I was able to research a lot of stuff, you know. And It takes a long time, you know, a lot of layers in that onion. People have to figure it out. I figured it out for myself. So did you. You know, we didn't go looking for people. We did it ourselves. So, as I said, it was a long process. But I think, as I said, the unveiling is happening quicker now in people. There's so much stuff going on. People are beginning to question bloody well everything now. And that's a good thing. And, let's see where it goes. I mean, it'd be great to have a crystal ball, wouldn't it, and just be able to see because where this is all going to end. But I really do think that we're going through a sort of an apocalypse now, and the world as we know it will end, but a new phoenix will rise out of the ashes, and hopefully it's the one, our phoenix, not their one. and then hopefully we can start again, and we'll do it right this time, you know.
Yeah, because I've come to the conclusion that, you know, we don't need the federal government. The federal government's not going to be reformed ever. Doesn't matter who is president. And any government that we do have needs to be local. And the closer the government people are to the people they're supposedly having influence over, the better. If you have to live around the people that you are supposedly governing, it's a different deal than if you live in Washington, D.C. and you're governing people you never meet or see. When you have to run into these people on the street and talk to them, you know, it's a different kind of game. And I think everything's going to come down to local politics, local interaction eventually. Who knows what the timeline will be on that. But this idea that we need these enormous governments to cradle, to grave, protect us and to tell us what to think and how to behave, those days are coming to an end. They really are. And there is sort of an energy that comes, you know, you talked earlier about these cycles. These energies come through on sort of, you could say, a cosmic scale or a universal scale that's beyond the hand of man. And I think these are some of the forces that are working in our favor. And very quietly.
The yin and the yang, you know, it's, you know, we're in the kind of the darkness of night and, the, you know, there's a dawn coming at some point, and you know, we got to be on the right side of it. And I think these people are going down. I can't see them winning this, because it's, their whole system is based on fraud and criminality anyway. So it's not based on natural justice or anything like that. It's just complete fraud.
Or natural law. And you made a good point earlier that Israel really is digging its own grave. I mean, with their
I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that they're doing that, because we were hammering on about them for years, you know. And they were just getting worse. But now, look what they're doing. They're actually committing cultural suicide there now. So, and I'm quite happy to sit back and eat the popcorn and watch, you know, as they do to themselves.
It is amazing. And, you know, I was watching the national news, and they had, you know, I like to monitor the propaganda. And they had, you know, they were talking about Gaza. And they had this reporter that was Jewish in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, who was cheering all of this on very quietly, trying to act like she was being objective. But she mentioned that according to the polls in Israel, 68% of Israelis don't think Israel is using enough force, if you can believe that. So this shows you how, like, mentally twisted these people are, and how their cruelty seems to know no bounds. And we're crossing lines that can't be undone. This isn't going to just go away. People aren't going to forget about this.
Like, as I said, I think that's why they're creating, like, that war in Ukraine is creating the new Israel. Because, again, look at the history. 109 times they've been kicked out of places. They're going to be kicked out of the Middle East. Simple. I think that's what's going to happen there. And I think they're preparing Ukraine as the new homeland, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I've been saying that since the beginning of this war. Yeah. So many people are focused on the Russians are winning. No, the Ukrainians are winning. Russia's winning. That doesn't even matter who wins. This is a different game, because no matter who wins, the end result is going to be a new Ukraine that's repopulated with new people. And yes, I believe this is an Israel 2.0 backup plan, because it's not a coincidence that, you know, the modern day borders of Ukraine are almost the exact borders of ancient Khazaria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We, like in Ireland, a country of 5 million people, we've got about 100,000 Ukrainians in there.
You know? Oh, wow.
And they're all getting free stuff. There are a lot of them are scamming the system as well. Like, and the war in Ukraine, you know, again, we have to question, like, how bad is it, or how real is it, or whatever, you know. But and what we know is mainly going on in the eastern side near the Russian border. Like Kiev is quiet.
Oh yeah, they're having
people coming over here, right? And I've seen it. Like they get a free apartment or whatever from the government, right? And what they're doing is they're letting it out to Irish people for about $2,000 or $3,000 a month, because that's what you can charge now. In they're getting apartments in very nice areas as well, not in the working class areas, in the nice leafy suburbs. Okay, and so they're renting them out for big money, and they're off back to Ukraine, and they're living on like $3,000 a month. That's euros, you know, in Ukrainian money. That's a nice chunk of change right there. You know?
Yeah, it is.
So that's what's happening there. And, you know, I see some of them, they've driven over for Ukraine, and they're driving around in their big cars. And these people aren't refugees, right? These are rich Ukrainians who could afford to get out, and they're milking the system here. Now, I don't have a problem with Ukrainians. I mean, but I don't like people coming over and milking the system. I don't think that's right. While our own people are really struggling right now. They're like, we've had a homeless epidemic in this country, which is...
Is it really? No, that's
interesting. It's terrible. And the UK is just as bad as well. In fact, I think the UK is worse. It's a lot worse, actually.
Oh yeah. But, the homeless problem in America is epidemic level. It's really terrible. And a lot of people just dismiss these people as, oh, they're all drug addicts or crazy. That's not really true. It's actually easy to end up homeless if you don't have any family, and you make a couple of bad decisions in life, and it's very, very difficult to become unhomeless once you're homeless. And this is never talked about by either side. It's really disgraceful. Mm-hmm. Well, Reiser, the hour just flew by. We're already at the top of the hour.
Yeah,
really good talking to you again, and I appreciate you coming on, man. And let's stay in touch, okay?
Yeah, we will do. Yeah.
All right, take care.
See you now. Bye bye.
Okay, and until next week.
Texas goes on forever.
Bye bye. See you then. Everyone, take care.
Strange drifters hitchhike on the lone highway. Cheap motels and beer
on the lone highway.
Trust anyone
on the lone highway,
on the lone highway, on the lone highway, the lone highway, on the lone highway, the lone highway, on the lone highway, the lone highway.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.